Well, good evening. It's Monday, the 11th of September, 2023. In our last study, we looked at young Timothy's life, specifically at his upbringing. And that was based on the scriptures praising his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And we saw the heart of the Apostle Paul as well, who further undergirded Timothy for the work of the ministry. Reading in Proverbs 22:6, we also noted the spiritual depth and the detail in training up children, and the accompanying parental commitment to do so. And included in that study, I read from Dake's Annotated Bible that really, for me, sets the heart for that intense responsibility of the parents to train up their children in the way they should go. And you can always give another listen to Young Timothy, the teaching on Young Timothy, for the information on that if you want to double back. But as a follow-up to that study, you would be shortchanged of the whole story if we didn't take some time to look at what I'm going to endearingly call the parental payday. Our hearts to fulfill God's will and our diligence to honor His will, first and foremost, earn for us eternal rewards. And those are the rewards that truly matter, because they are awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, which is called the Bema, and that happens after the saints are gathered together at the day of Christ's return. But certainly, there are earthly rewards. There are ways in the way of blessings for loving God in the here and now. And I like to think of them as life's little paydays. There are great blessings in this life for the faithfulness and the heroic diligence to fully instruct our children in God's righteousness. And it's all the way to our leading them through the ways we live what we have taught them. But there's one thing I want to do before we go any further in our study for today, and I kind of want to hold a sidebar, if you will. We're just going to step aside and look at a very important truth. I'll leave it at that. For parents who love God and desire to raise their children to do the same, but for some cause or other, it didn't turn out the way you had imagined, I'm saying this for you. For whatever the cause or reason, forgive yourselves. Remember, God knows your heart. He knows each of our hearts in particular. And for all the parents raising children at its best, it still requires God's grace and mercy. There are no perfect parents. And that's why we have to apologize at times to our children so God does not get the blame, because that's what happens. Believers live wrongly, and those we wrong, you know what they do? They take it out on God. Well, why not take it out on whoever taught you that or whoever wronged you? Well, the Word says we're not even supposed to take it out on them, truly. But that's what happens. God gets the blame for what the devil did. And there are outside contributions of evil that mess things up, or at least give it a good shot. God knows all of those, but most of all, never forget, He knows your heart. That's what you and Him have that is very special and unique. The enemy of God does get away with a lot because he inserts tripwires along our way. We set out well-intended, and then maybe we begin to put our trust in things that we think our trust is really in God. And maybe it wasn't. I think it's safe to say if we knew then what we know now, it would have been a lot different, perhaps. And then I want to say this for the benefit of parents who may have been disappointed in how their relationships with their children's relationships with God worked out or didn't work out. As for the onlookers, God says in His Word that we are not to make any comparisons because it is unwise. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Additionally, throughout the epistles, God commands that we do not judge others. And for that, I encourage you, go to a concordance and look up the word judge and see the instruction and reproof for judging one another. And the only wise thing, don't do it. Don't do it. Because really, when, by God's grace and mercy, our children love God and honor Him by walking in His ways when they are come of age, refrain from being puffed up. Oh goodness, please refrain from being puffed up and feeling like you did it all right. Replace those tendencies with deep thankfulness to God for His grace and mercy. And be compassionate in your prayers for other people. None of us truly know the heart of another. None of us truly know the ins and outs of the devilish circumstances and confusion that brought evil into the mix despite every effort. There will be a day when we all stand before the Bema that I mentioned earlier. And the truth is, for every person, we will receive eternal rewards for our thoughts and actions that we did which were motivated by the divine love of God and respect for Him. And if your heart hurts over a familial situation, put your heart out before our loving Father and ask for His help to heal you and to perhaps mend or restore or bring about a change that will be beneficial and godly for all. And you know what? If you want and you can't find peace in the situation, you can always contact me. God has the absolute light for any and every situation. But don't, I guess, I want to go into a beautiful study today. And I don't want anyone feeling bad when the truth is taught. And it makes you feel like other people may be looking down on you if your situation did not turn out well. And if people are looking, feeling that way, looking down on you, then they need help also. And you can call me for that too. So now I want to enjoy the study on the parental payday. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has set up in His Word concerning our children. Many other things too, but we're looking at young Timothy's life. We're looking at training up our children, and it's just a great way to put a conclusion to that with this subject today. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says that when a just man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. So we're going to read a few verses where mothers and fathers enjoy the blessings of behaving according to their personal integrity, when it came to training up their children. You know, they were able to enjoy the fruit of their labors in training up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that is the way they should go. They should go in that way, as Proverbs 22:6 says. Proverbs 31:28, it talks of the virtuous woman, saying that her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. And calling their mother blessed is an expression that testifies to her honesty, her straightness in thinking, her happiness, her prosperity, her peace. And figuratively, it's like saying, she's a wonderful woman who trusted in the, whose trust is in God, and she leads her children in His ways to do likewise. It's just gorgeous. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, this virtuous woman, excellest them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, meaning it's temporary. Everybody's going to get some wrinkles. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates or in the community, among the believing ones, and certainly in her family. A mother's greatest work is her children. Get the word in their minds at the earliest age possible. I mean, people will tell you you should paint your baby's nursery with certain colors. I even forget what they are now, but you know that it's good for them because infants only see such and such. It's healthy to feed them clean foods for their bodily and mental development. But more important than any of that, feed the word to them and let them see your life with God. Talk to them, teach them, train them. And what a couple of great verses in chapter 23, in verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Now the word rejoice in verse 24 and the word glad in verse 25 are the same Hebrew word. So rejoicing and glad, those words, they are the same in meaning. Now back in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And heaviness means that the mother, she actually grieves. She has great sorrow. In chapter 15, verse 20, it tells us, a wise son maketh a glad or a joyous father, but a foolish man, or daughter, child, whatever, despises his mother. And the reason that is because the foolish child, son, daughter, hates knowledge, God's knowledge. A fool is one who doesn't delight, a fool is one who doesn't delight in understanding. And in this, he reflects his disregard for his mother's training. His disregard is condescending to her. But the wise son makes a glad father and mother. Their hearts brim with joy and gladness. And in chapter 27, verse 11, we see what should be the heart cry of every mother and father. Look at this. It says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. So let's look at this. The father's cry is for his son to be wise, and Psalm 111:10 reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It's the parent that introduces to the child that awe of God. And that is the beginning of his wisdom. So you see, it's a glorious circle of life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And his praise here refers to his adoration and thanksgiving to God. That it's going to endure forever. Every parent should want a wise child. And in order to have one, we feed them at the earliest age possible the awe of our Heavenly Father. So every parent should want a wise child whose response to God's will would fill them with joy. You know, I realize we desire them to enjoy the good life. But what is the good life really all about? The true good life is found in our relationship with God through His Son. You know, if God is their first source for instruction and wisdom, they have God's promise for success in anything they put their hand to do. In the community, within their families, with their secular employment, with serving as ministers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever they do. Remember, 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Feed their souls early, early on. You know, all education is honorable and all professions are honorable. And at the same time, education and professions can be less than honorable. It's kind of like money. It can be good. It can be bad. It's one of those things that's immoral. The question is, where is your love? Is it love of money? Is it love of being a certain thing in the community, a title, a profession? You know, every profession is honorable. God says of the love of money that it's the root of all evil. You know, parents set these values in their child's heart starting the day they're born. So make sure that the values are aligned with the nature of God. The parent teaches, yes. We all teach something. And the question is, how does the parent live? Children are very observant and often see things as they really are. You're not going to fool them long. And this is why when we do it right, there is a payday of joy and gladness. And no education, no profession can afford the price of joy because it cannot be bought. It is a blessing that only one's heart can make. You know, we'll move on, and I want to look at Psalm 128. In this psalm, there is a phrase that is so lovely when it's understood. So we're going to take a little time to really look at a certain phrase and enjoy that. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is everyone that awes or feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children, and here's the phrase, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth, or holds in respect, that obeys, that loves the Lord God, Jehovah. So, not only do parents rejoice with great joy and blessings, but verse 3 mentions that phrase, their children are like olive plants round about the table, which makes my mind ask, oh, what in the world does that mean? I mean, it's pretty important. You read these four verses and you say, wow, I mean, that's pretty superlative in every regard as to how our blessings are to go. So what does this mean? And we can learn from the root word for olive, number one. So that's where we're going to start. The root word for the word olive, it means to shine, adorn, to be clothed, a splendid or fair form, an ornament. So the olive tree had a freshness and beauty. Its oil was referred to as illuminating. It had preservative qualities. It was bright, fresh, and it was considered quite the luxury. The olive oil was used for cooking. It powered lamps to light their homes. And, of course, the olive tree became known for its brightness, for the brightness it had the power to bring forth. And all around the places known in biblical times, regardless of culture, religion, or region, worship, the olive tree has consistently held that place of honor. The fruit, the oil, and even the wood played some role in culture and economics. The olive tree has a rich tapestry of symbolism, from hope, light, prosperity, to wisdom. It has always been a symbol of peace. Even today, we hear that phrase concerning extending the olive branch. And it kind of sends an invitation to someone else that, hey, let's sit together and have a discussion in an effort to pursue peace and harmony together. And in Noah's day, we know that the olive branch symbolized hope. You know, the floods were gone. They were departed. It was a time of renewal. When the dove brought back the olive branch to Noah, it was a sign to Noah. It was proof to Noah that the end of the flood, it was done. The end of the flood had come, and the start of something new had begun. And as for the tree itself, the olive tree, it is known for strength and endurance to thrive in poor soil and lousy weather. It even withstands fires while it grows stronger. It has very harsh winters, and it comes out in the spring with flowering branches. And that always caused a sense of anticipation of the things that were to come. I mean, we oftentimes think of spring as a renewal. We want to spring clean our homes. We want to make everything beautiful. The olive tree is known for being a true gift to mankind, for all the health and longevity that it holds. I read one place that said the oil was known as liquid gold. And being in the evergreen family, it perseveres through every season of its life. And with all of that, the most significant imagery of the olive plant is the way it grows. And this is what I'm getting to about the qualities of the children round your table. as the tree grows, new olive plants begin to grow at the base of the parent tree. And our children are like olive plants around our table. So here's the olive tree. These new olive plants sprout up at the base of the parent tree. And over the years, they actually can surround the aging tree whose limbs and trunk do begin to hollow after a certain age. The newer plants at the base then support and sustain and keep that parent tree fruitful. They keep that parent tree fruitful. And that's how our children are to be. And this is a spiritual truth. You know, in biblical times, children lived close to their parents as they grew older and began their own families. But today, that is not always the case, of course. But even across thousands of miles, with all the inventions of this day and time, you can support a parent daily in some way. You can support them with all these contraptions that we have, with all these means that parent can be supported by the love of their children. And there are ways to virtually close that geographical gap. There are so many situations in life, and our God and Father has the solution for every single one of them. As we look to Him and trust His working in our hearts, our unique solutions will become clear. That is God's promise. So our love to you all, and God bless you.